Hello, this is Reverend Lindsay again, and thanks for joining me for part two of our stay-at-home worship podcast for my sermon for June 27th, 2021, entitled Touching Stories, based on our reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. He is in a hurry, Jesus. Just back from his trip to the Gentile side, he can't take a minute to relax. Already he's surrounded by a crowd. Already here comes someone wanting something. Jairus, anxious, desperate, falling at Jesus' feet and begging. Jairus could have sent someone else. That would have been more befitting his stature and authority. But he has thrown dignity and privilege aside, prostrated himself like the lowliest supplicant. Come, he cries to Jesus. My child is dying. My little daughter, save her. Right away, Jesus goes. And the crowd goes with him, eager to see what will happen, eager to witness the new miracle by this new wonder worker. Jesus pushes through them like a commuter in rush hour, making his way through the throng. But suddenly, he stops and turns. Who touched me? He demands. The disciples are bewildered. Bodies press against him on every side. What does he mean, who touched me? But he knows. It was no casual touch. No inadvertent brush of bodies, he felt, but an urgent pressure and the power of God flowing out of him like a rushing river. And she knows. The woman who had reached out to just touch his garment as he passed by, who had felt that power flowing into her, flowing through her, and stopping the life's blood that had been flowing out of her body for 12 years now, sapping her strength and draining her resources, cutting her off, making her unclean, untouchable. She touched him. Boldly, this woman alone in the milling crowd, because he is her last hope. Timidly, this woman whose ailment has made her impure, fearful that someone will notice, fearful that he will back away from her unclean touch. With courage and fear, she reached out to Jesus, believing somehow that the slightest contact between them would make her well. She touched him. And she's been caught in the act. Her body has been healed. She knows it. She felt it. But before she can take it in, he is demanding, who touched me? Does she think for a moment of pushing her way through the suffocating crowd and running off? But she cannot run from him. Trembling, she falls at his feet and tells him everything. It was she. She with her embarrassing women's trouble that some smirk at, but has cost her her health, her peace of mind, her faith community, her ability to bear children, cost her everything but her life. And what has her life been worth these 12 long years? She touched him. Daughter, he says. And the word makes her eyes smart with tears. Daughter, not bleeding woman, not tainted one, not unclean creature. She has heard those names before. Daughter, he says, daughter of Abraham and Sarah, child of God. It's as if he said, welcome back. Welcome home. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. be healed of your disease. She knows that it is his power, not her faith, that has made her well. Yet, her faith has brought her here. Her faith stretched out her arm despite her fear. Her faith, her hope, her desperation. Who can tell where one begins and one ends? But it is enough. Enough for him. Go in peace. Yes, she will, at long last. Be healed. Isn't she already healed? The blood has stopped, the illness has gone. But it will take some time for the healing to be complete. Takes some time for the damage of the grief and anger and awfulness of those 12 years of isolation and pain to be undone. Some time, perhaps, for the fear and mistrust of her neighbors to be overcome. But it will happen. She has dared to lay hold of her Savior. She will be healed of her disease. She knows that now. All this time, where is Jairus? Cooling his heels, fretting, frantic, pacing, terrified? Oh, he has nothing against that woman, but couldn't she have waited? Couldn't the teacher have just healed her and moved on? His daughter is dying. Why won't the man hurry? Too late. The unthinkable, the expected news arrives. Your daughter is dead. Does he begin to weep and rend his garments? Or is he too stunned to take it in? But Jesus says, don't be afraid. Only keep believing. And taking Peter, James, and John with him, he calmly leaves the crowd behind and goes at last to Jairus' house, where the professional mourners are already in residence. The neighbors, no doubt, have already begun to arrive with casseroles. The house is filled with commotion, but Jesus doesn't seem worried. Why the carrying on, he asks. The child is not dead, but sleeping. Was it the paid mourners who laughed in derision, or the family that laughed in despair? For she is dead, all right. The child is dead. But there is no room in this house now for derision or despair. Jesus sends them all packing, all but the mother, the father, the three disciples. He goes to the room where the little girl lies. 12 years old. All the time this little girl has been alive, the bleeding woman has suffered. All the time the woman was being healed, this child was dying. Jesus reaches out, takes her hand in his. Once more, the power of God flows out of him, warming her small, cold hand. Talitha, cum, he says. Little girl, get up. And she does. Just like that. The parents are stunned. The disciples too. Don't tell anyone, he says, as if the whole village will not soon be abuzz with the news. Give her something to eat, he says. For here too, the healing has only begun. Touching stories, both of these, stories of healing and faith. But beware the simple reading, the tidy moral that says, believe and your wishes will come true. If your faith is only great enough, your prayers intense enough, your contrition heartfelt enough, you will get what you want. That's a lovely thought. But it's Disney, not gospel. And we know that it's a lie. For every faithful bleeding woman who is healed, how many faithful people continue to suffer illness and rejection? For every child who is raised from her deathbed, how many children will not survive? Disease, accident, abuse, poverty, no matter how fervently their loved ones pray. These touching tales are not, as Barbara Brown Taylor says, stories of how we get God to do what we want. They are stories about who God is and how God acts and what God is like. They are Mark's proclamation that this Jesus is the Son of God. And so this is what God is like. God is the one with the power, the one willing to use that power to reclaim the outcast woman no less than the child of privilege, the one who does not shun the impure, the unwanted, the hopeless, the one whose touch can restore us to wholeness, welcome us home, affirm that, yes, we are children of God, sick or well, in life and in death. These are stories about who God is and who we are as well. Do you recognize yourself? Of course, we couldn't be more different, you and I, from these first century people, the nameless woman, the nameless girl, and the desperate father. Could we? They could not have been more different. The man Jairus and the nameless woman. He, a valued and prominent religious leader, male, privileged, accustomed to attention, respect. She, destitute, not only ill, but tainted, female, shunned, accustomed to scorn. They could not have been more different. They could not have been more alike. Desperation has moved them both past the border of what is right, what is proper, and into the territory of faith. For if fear and desperation have set them in motion, faith has directed their steps, brought them to Jesus with nothing left but their hope. In the face of the naysayers, the physicians who have taken her money and given her no relief, the crowd who tell him to give it up, his daughter is dead, they choose hope. They choose to believe. They could not have been more different. The dying child and the bleeding woman, the beloved child of privilege and the woman on her own. They could not have been more different. They could not have been more alike. Both in desperate need, both beyond earthly help, both impure, the woman by her bleeding, the girl in death, both healed and restored. We couldn't be more different, could we, you and I, from these first century people? We couldn't be more alike. We are the bleeding woman. Have you endured much? Put your faith in miracle cures that were neither miracle nor cure? Have you been deemed unclean and told to keep your distance lest you contaminate the pure ones, the good ones, the worthy ones? Have you labeled yourself impure, useless, unfit, irredeemable? You are the bleeding woman. We are the dying child. Have you been given up for dead? Past help, past hope, unable to seek healing for yourself, unable to rise up, too paralyzed by illness, despair, sin, disappointment. You are the dying child. Not me, you say. I am clean. I am whole. I have no need of the healing touch of the Savior. Really? Then perhaps you are Jairus, the desperate parent whose name means the one the Lord enlightens. Your faith has made you well, Jesus tells the woman. Do not fear, he says to the desperate parent. Only keep believing. What of the girl? Does she believe? We don't know. And it doesn't seem to matter. Do you remember the story of the paralyzed man in Mark chapter 2, the one whose friends are so desperate to help him that they take the roof off of the house where Jesus is and lower their friend down? Do you recall that when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Son, son, stand up, take your mat and walk." When Jesus saw their faith. We are Jairus, each of us and all of us together as church. We are the desperate and hopeful ones, ignoring the world which says, that person is beyond saving. This person is not my concern. That church is dead. We are the ones offering our faith for those whose faith has been shattered or not yet found. We are the ones who can put aside our fear and dignity and fall at the feet of the Savior, seeking deliverance for the ones who are dying, the ones shut out, the ones past help, our offspring and siblings, in our own families and the church's family and the boundless family of God. You are Jairus. On any given day, at any given moment, we are the bleeding woman, the dying child, the desperate parent. Only God has the power to heal. We are the ones who can choose faith over fear, who can reach out to Christ, letting ourselves be touched and heal, who can reach out in the name of Christ to begin Christ's ministry of healing and hope for others. Do you believe? Do you sometimes believe and sometimes despair? Would you believe with all your heart if only you could? Jesus is right in front of you. Get up, reach out, grab hold. Only keep believing. To God alone be the glory. Amen.